That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has, and good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We welcome you this morning. This, can you believe it's May 8th already? 2021. Time just marches on, but we're thankful for that. I think the days have been shortened because, whew, before you know it, another day is here. Well, Remnant, we welcome you here. We've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring everybody on. And, John, good morning, sir.
Morning.
And, Paul, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
And, Tim, good morning to you out in Nebraska. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Jason, thank you for joining us as well. Good morning down in sunny Colorado.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you as well. And thanks for joining us here for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We've got our coffee. We've got our Bibles. And we're glad that you joined us. We'll have the phone lines open in just a bit. And be glad to take your call. And you know, what direction this program goes, who knows? But we'll see. And we'll ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, John, we'll look to you to open us up in prayer this morning, sir.
Sure. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we praise you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, when we look at the headlines, they're pretty bleak. There's not much hope. Not much hope unless, that is, you've been born again of the water and the Spirit and contacted the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And unless you are a member of the remnant that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus that is in a covenant, an everlasting covenant with God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then the future looks pretty bright. Father, we just pray in these days that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment. Father, that you would open the doors that we need opened in our lives and close the doors that we need closed. We pray that, just as your word says, that you would remember grace and mercy and compassion in your wrath, and that you would find us, your people, worthy to escape the things that are coming. We continue to pray that the things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops, and we continue to see that. Continue to pray that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they would turn upon one another and devour one another. that they would fall in the pits that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay. Continue to pray for your guardian angels to be all about your people and your warring angels to continue to battle Leviathan. Father, we do pray for mighty prayer warriors, those who are willing to set aside time to fast and to pray for this country, land of milk and honey, the true J-E-R, U-S-A, L-E-M, and for your people. Father, we pray that those that can would come to repentance, that you would remove their scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, and that they'd be able to hear and see the truth. And when they do, that they too would fall upon their face and cry out, ask for forgiveness. Father, we pray that you would give us the opportunity to reach as many as we can while there's still yet time. Lord, your word says that we can call upon you to send myriads of angels out, and we do, Lord. We ask that you send your ministering angels out to prepare those people's hearts and minds and souls that we can reach. Send your guardian angels to protect those that are yours, and your warring angels to battle Leviathan. Guide and direct our thoughts this morning. There's so many things to talk about, and Father, give us discernment. Show us how they tie into your word and your prophecies. Your word says that in the last days, knowledge would increase, and we see that as well. Forgive us, Lord, for falling asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel and allowing it to get this bad. Father, hear your people as we cry out in an appeal to heaven for you to save America again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Remnant, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to call in. You know, many times we have heard it lately, the scripture in Psalms 2, where God sits in the heavens and laughs. And was reading that this morning, first couple of chapters of Psalms. That's always encouraging. And the lead up to that, I wanted to start off with that this morning. The lead up to that, Psalms 2 says, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? Well, we could ask that question today, because the nations are in an uproar and the peoples are devising a vain thing, from transgenderism to 6 different genders to 40 different genders to it's ridiculous what they're coming up with. And then verse 2 says, the kings of the earth, and today, of course, that means the leaders, the rulers, those that, whether they're called the president or the head of, the richest people in the world, or the head of Google or whatever, those that have appointed themselves leaders, they take their stand. And the rulers, it says, take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And so these people, they're not only fighting against us, they're fighting against God. They are. And what do they say? They say, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. And most people go, huh? But what that means is, let us get rid of that law. They don't want the law of God. That's what they want, because it is the law of God that is like handcuffs on them, that keeps them from doing their vile and wickedness. It is, when he says, cast away their cords from us, it is those cords that bind them, the cords of the law that bind them from destroying God's people and God's creation. And of course, right after it, it's he who sits in the heavens laughs. God laughs at the schemes of men, but anyway, it just kind of came together as I read that this morning, that's what they're wanting to do, and that has been their goal. Is, you know, when we talk about freedom and liberty, you know, we understand the biblical meaning of that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But freedom to them and liberty to them is a whole different matter to those kings of the earth and the rulers. It is freedom.
Always has been, always will.
Yes, freedom to do whatever they want. And when you read through the Psalms, you'll see that many times they'll say, David will say that, oh, the enemy prospers and says, God doesn't see. God is not going to hold us accountable. And that's their attitude. I think so many of them today, and the converts that they've created by the millions, they don't think there's going to be an accountability, an accounting.
They don't fear God anymore.
That's right. They don't fear God, but they're just wrong. They are. Anyway.
Well, one of the new books that we got that I've been talking to a lot of people about is called The Truth About COVID-19, Exposing the Great Reset, Lockdowns, Vaccine Passports, and the New Normal. Just recently released. We've got that book available. Fantastic book. I had somebody call me yesterday and want to talk about it. Fantastic book, great reviews, really goes into a lot of the things that are going on that we're seeing today. Encourage anybody to get this book. It was by Dr. Joseph Marcola and Ronnie Cummings, and it is it really puts a lot of things that we're seeing on a day-to-day basis into perspective. You can order it from Scriptures for America. It's just a phenomenal book. Really, really encourage people to get it. Did a lot of research on it. We were actually able to get some copies of it before it was even released, and they did a really good job. It really goes into a lot of the things and things that we've been talking about for a long time. You know, how important vitamin D3 is, how important selenium is, vitamin C. A lot of the stuff that we've been really telling people that are really good for you is in this book. And just want to, you know, put that out there, that we do have that book available and would like to get it out to you. It's called The Truth About COVID-19 by Marcola. So make sure you get a hold of us and get one of those ordered.
I was going to say, you were really ahead of the curve on that. You've been promoting that book here for a month or so, and nobody even heard of it other than here in this last week. I've seen that people have started to advertise it. But yeah, actually, that is an awesome book.
Yeah, it's great. And you know, and so much of the stuff that we've been telling people is starting to come out. Then they're coming out in this book and they're saying, hey, you know, we're finding out that selenium is really good against COVID, and it keeps you healthy and it'll keep you from getting the virus. D3 is really important. And, you know, the things that we've been really telling people for quite some time to, you know, this is what you need to be doing. You know, this is what I do for me and my family. This is what keeps us healthy. And, you know, now they're coming out with it and putting it in these books that, you know, are just, you know, hot off the presses. So that's kind of encouraging.
Amen. And yeah, in the back of that book, there's 40 pages of references to studies and to news articles and facts. So it's not, you know, it's a little different than just somebody saying, hey, this works. They've got 40 pages of footnotes in the back of it, references that footnote it, that prove, that show from the facts, and not just somebody saying something. Anyway, great book. It is. Excellent. We've been moving it like hotcakes. John?
Well, I was going to say, I think it was probably 6 months, maybe 8 months ago, that this ministry exposed the dangers of the science experiment that they call it a vaccine. And I remember getting some negative comments about that. People who were saying, well, you realize that you might be killing people by you know, scaring them from getting the vaccine. And now it appears that they've changed their tune based on all of the proof that's coming out regarding that it's most likely. I mean, best case scenario, it's sterilizing the population. Worst case scenario, it's going to cause a mass genocide, and I believe the latter to be true. I believe they told us what their plans were all the way back. At least they put it in stone in the Georgia Guidestones, and Pastor Peters exposed that, 20 years ago? So it's encouraging to see the number of people that are waking up. You can also see now that there are a lot of businesses and organizations that are requiring vaccine proof to continue employment. And I don't believe they'll be able to get that accomplished, at least not yet. But I was reading an article here last night about Washington State. You know, we all know that that state is given over to the demon rats. And basically they're allowing their governor, Inslee, has decided that if these establishments, including churches, are willing to set up a separate section for those that are vaccinated, then they can at least get to the 50% threshold, but you have to show proof of your vaccine from your vaccine card or whatever to be able to go and to sit in these sections. And I've also seen now that if you're a minority or if you have a vaccine permit, they're going to get special treatment at different sporting events, football games and things like that. So you can just see the fact that the government's trying to cause division any way they can. They've been trying to cause a race riot for I don't know how many years, but they appear to be advancing that agenda.
Yeah, and even though, what I've noticed is even though they try to advance that agenda, there's a lot of people that are just getting fed up with it, and they're just saying no, and they quit wearing their masks, and they're going about their day-to-day basis. You go into the hardware stores and stuff, and nothing had changed as far as the laws were concerned, but there was a time and when nobody was not wearing a mask, and now you go in there and it's 50% of the people that aren't wearing a mask, and in some of these rural areas it's nobody's wearing a mask, and they just I've noticed this shift, and it's like, even though they try harder and harder to do it, there's people have had enough, and I think that they're realizing that people are just to the point where they're just saying no, they're done, they're realizing that this is a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. There's some establishments that just won't let you in there without a mask, and that's fine.
Right.
You just can go somewhere else, but yeah.
But haven't you noticed that as far as when just even talking to people, that people are just getting to the point where, they're just done?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I've noticed that it seems like a lot of these, there's a real polarization going between people. I mean, it's kind of like the separation of the sheep and the goats, the Bible talks about. But you watch these huge corporations, they're like, they don't care. I mean, we have some here locally, and you absolutely can't go in without one. Had a friend show me he had a prescription from his doctor showing that no mask was needed, that he couldn't wear one. They showed that, I might be mixing the metaphors, so to speak, a little bit here, but they showed it to him and they still wouldn't wear it. And it's like, by their own rules, that's not even okay, but they didn't care. It was just like, nope, that's just the way it is. And there's a whole bunch of that going on, and it's just interesting to me when I look at all this, that the flagging and the financial devastation that they're creating. But I think it's going to come back on. I think the whole these big companies are digging with this mask thing is going to probably do more damage to themselves than anything else. I mean, you look at the people who are the workers, the people who are the go-getters, and you know, they're out there, and you make them mad, they go somewhere else. Well, they're the people that actually do things, that repeat business, that come back in, that accomplish things. And I think we're seeing a lot of a lot of polarization there going on. I think we're coming into this Revelations, you know, 18th chapter of Revelation there, where you see that go on with the destruction of Babylon and the kings that slept with her and made all this stuff go. I mean, it's like, and it talks about all these shortages in there, you know, like meat and food and all these fine things and lumber and labor. They talk about human lives. Well, that's labor. And, of course, now they're carrying on about how hard it is to find anybody to work. I mean, it's a huge, huge deal. And that's probably one of our bigger problems today as far as that goes. But the other thing is there's a big lie going on. There's plenty of meat. There's plenty of lumber. There's plenty of all those things. But they're trying to, you know, use that to control population, use that to fund themselves. They're so desperate that they're holding things back and creating all this illusion of shortage in order to control and manipulate and profit from it. And I think, you know, God's going to blow it up in their face. So I think we're seeing those things come about.
I would agree 100%. You look at this, you know, these lumber prices and stuff like that, but then you can see pictures and videos of train cars just stockpiled, I mean, stockpile after stockpile after stockpile of lumber that is stuck away. And, yeah, it's basically, you know, something that has been created, you know, supply and demand. And, you know, even, you know, when a 2x4 goes from, you know, $3 to $14, $15, and but you know, all the shelves are full of 2x4s. I haven't seen a shortage of them, but price sure has gone up. You know, you take a sheet of OSB that you know, went from under $10 to almost $60, you know, and basically goes up on a regular basis. There's something that ain't right. That's a manipulated market.
Yes. And the manufacturers or the producers, they're really not making that much more, you know. I mean, so, if any.
Exactly.
I know, it has to start somewhere, though. Where does the stepping on the pricing start, though? That's the question. It has to start.
Well, we're dealing with total anarchy. There is no law with those people. If they're lawless people, they come to steal, kill, and destroy, and they're getting away with it. But it's because of the idolatry of the people that they're able to. You know, if there's a shortage, you say, no, we don't have it. No, they've been doing this crap for years. They jacked the price up, and it's used to do it. If you got a shortage, no, we can't get it to you. But no, we got it's all Judaism and our bullshit minds and Christians alike that, yeah, it's okay to charge more. You know, I've got beef. I didn't raise the price. I could have, but most of my friends are selling 50 to 75 cents more than I do. But I'm doing my part to control inflation. And I know it don't mean nothing except that I care about the people that bought from me when it wasn't that high. You know, we got to put some stabilization back in this country. We need to quit worrying about what the crap they're doing. We were commissioned to take dominion. And then I believe it's Ephesians, it says all authority's been given to us. And we're talking about what they're doing. I don't give a crap what they're doing because God's doing something. You see, I'm getting humbled in this thing too. You know, we can't just go out and do stuff like I do. And I think I really needed it the more I think about it. And then we do. And we need to take care of our brother and love our neighbors ourselves. And there's some really good stuff coming out of this. Yeah, they're trying to take the world over. They're really close to doing it because most of the thing there and everyone, even us, they're in our brain too deep. And they need to get out. Romans 13 says, all authority was given to us. That means that Biden, Hillary, every one of them is subject to God. And they think they're getting away with it. But this ain't going to, like you said, it's going to backfire on them. And this is really good for us because I'm personally getting humbled out of this. And it's a good thing. And it's a real good thing because I needed it. You know, but, you know, sometimes that knowledge puffs you up and stuff like that. I don't care what you know. we still breathe one breath at a time every day, and God's going to use us. You know, we're here. We're the salt of the earth. We got to quit talking about what they're doing, because I don't care what they're doing. God's got a bigger plan. And, you know, yeah, there's some good signs. Montana, I think North Carolina just said they were not going to use federal stimulus on the unemployment. They said, we have a major labor shortage, and you people got to go back to work. Now, just in the last couple of days, Montana and that and just came out with that. I'm a guy from Florida. He said, yeah, you're going to have to prove you're working for work. And so things are waking up. I totally agree with this. It's going to backfire on them. You know, they said to dig a hole, and they're going to fall in it. But we got to be in the right mindset to take dominion over this country. All authority has been given to us, and we have not even exercised it. So, and there's some really good things. You take the farm markets are going ballistic. You can't buy seeds. I mean, that's a really good sign, because as people are doing it, there's the really good things going on right now. We're, you know, I've been waiting for the fall of Babylon for years, and, you know, now it's here. You know, I drove around for 2 years on a license plate, you know, did you find the system and everything like that. And, you know, I got to come to the conclusion, you know, if everybody took their license plate off, we'd still be in a mess. It's all spiritual. So.
I know a lot of people that did that and got rid of their driver's licenses and everything.
I mean,
yeah.
I did. Yeah, what good does it do? Yeah, they got us running down. We allowed them to run it down another. You know, Pastor Peter kept me from going to prison. He says, don't think you're getting out of a system God put you in. And this is about us being humbled, us being perfected. And this is going on before our very eyes. And, you know, I don't care what they're doing. They're trying. They're trying. And it really looks like we're beat, but we're not.
That's right.
God will not be mocked.
That's right.
Well, you know, I think the thing. One of the things that occurred to me the other day is we talk about that Red Sea moment a lot, you know, but that timer always counts down. God's timer always goes to zero. You know what I'm saying? It either doesn't start or it goes to zero. I mean, when they were up against the Red Sea there, and those Egyptian military was coming in, and they were in this near panic thing, and you know, the Red Sea was opened and they crossed. Pharaoh's army was in the Red Sea. I mean, you want to talk about a zero? It's like, well, they're coming across too. And God, you know, that was the end of the timer. But it always goes to zero. I mean, it's like, in situations like this, you look at that and it's like, yep, it's gonna. he turned and he saved them. But it's just one of those. That's kind of that faith moment of how far is it going to go, God? And he's like, as far to my zero moment, that's where it's going. So I think it's kind of unique.
Yeah, there is an absolute movement that is not covered by CNN, it's not covered by MSNBC. The White House, you know, Psaki, the press secretary, she doesn't talk about it. But there is a movement for this regenerative agriculture. We've been talking about it for a couple of years now. Jason's been doing a great job finding these new books that have come out that, you know, that offer help to people. And it's things that many people have just forgotten about. But it is an absolute movement to get away from the boxed foods, to get away from you know, just the grocery store shelves. And Jason has found two new good books for us. We've got a whole stack of them. And one of them is called Growing Good Food, A Citizen's Guide to Climate Victory Gardening. And many today don't realize about victory gardens. They don't remember what it is. I want to read just a quick paragraph here from it. And it's talking about during World War II, victory gardens sprouted all over the country. The goal, of course, was to support the war effort. Posters encouraged citizens to do their part with things like "Our food is fighting" and "Food will win the war." People who had never gardened before were energized by the prospect of helping the country, and many Americans gave it a try. Families rallied, clearing and planting vacant city lots, backyards, schoolyards, People without access to land planted vegetables in pots on stoops and balconies. Rooftop and community gardens sprung up. Every piece of land was viewed as an opportunity to help win the war. By 1943, and that's only like, what, almost 80 years ago. By 1943, the nearly 20 million victory gardens across the country were growing 40% of the nation's food. And so think about that, Remnant. 40% of the nation's food was grown basically in your backyard or in a few community plots. And, you know, we're seeing a huge movement back to that. Because you know what? Books like Growing Good Food and books by Gabe Brown like Dirt to Soil and the books, the other book we've got, The No-Till Intensive Garden Vegetable Culture and The Regenerative Grower's Guide to Garden Amendments, they are selling. They are selling. People are interested in this. And as we've said before, the last couple years, it's been hard to get seeds and growing medium and peat moss. Oh, it's there now. But there was a time that, they're back ordered. It's stuck at the Canadian border. You can't get the peat moss. You can't get the growing soil. And it's because more and more people are turning to that. It's part of the awakening process. And like you said, Paul, we need to concentrate on the positive things that we see, the good things that are going on, because some people are waking up. We've had three baptisms that I know about. Two people either flew or drove to the church for baptism. We set up another one out in Arkansas just last month, and that is encouraging. When we read in Matthew, they asked Jesus, are there just a few being saved? And he said, yes. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there are that find it, he says. And so we do have to realize that, and we do need to be positive about the good things. You know, on a whole nother note, I think we're at, 14, maybe you know, Jason, 16 states that now have full constitutional carry of firearms. Their state legislators have voted and approved the majority of it. No concealed carry needed. You want to carry a firearm for protection, carry one. I know we all have strong feelings about that. But there's many out there that have not been raised, that have not heard. John, you've mentioned it before, that haven't had the privilege of, being raised for 20 or 30 or 40 years on Pastor Peter's teachings. And even apart from that, the people are waking up. In the agricultural field, they're waking up in the self-defense field, that they know inherently that they have to provide for their family. And that includes protection, protecting their family and safety for their family. And so we're seeing that more and more. And it is encouraging. It is encouraging.
Well, you know, Pastor Peters really wasn't an original thinker. We had Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. All them guys had laid it out before. This ain't nothing new under the sun. They want to eliminate the Anglo-Saxon people, the very people that are builders. You know, if you got a problem, I've heard years ago, if a church would go in a down, 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 they start a building project, pulls them back together. You take the sports out of education, you wouldn't have a school no more, because that's what holds the people together is the sports. It's not the education. They're making people dumber than rocks. I just told my grandson to quit school. He's 17 years old. He said, well, we're too dumb. I said, don't you let anybody tell you you're too dumb. I said, you're bored to death. They ain't teaching you nothing there. He said, yeah, you're right, Grandpa. I said, quit school. He worked over spring break, made $1,000 pouring cement. So, you know, he's industrious. He's willing to work. And I said, get out of that school. You know, everybody thinks I'm crazy, but, you know, if I could go back in time, I'd have quit school in the eighth grade. I lived a little school down the road from me. I had three teachers. I think they would have taught if they didn't get paid. They were just, their heart was in it. And that's what actually when my education ended right there, other than the school hard knock. So, and that's a good school. It's a really good school. You never forget.
Yeah, you know,
and
you see that.
It's government sanctioned. You know how I know? They have extended the curriculum and up the tuition.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
School hard knocks. Right.
There's at least one governor who recognizes the threat of the, especially the Michiganders' survivalist mentality, and that's that female dog Jezebel bitch in Michigan. And you know, remember when this thing first started? She started to make it illegal to have a garden. She made it illegal to. What, purchase potting soil and purchase seeds, and so I'm surprised that more haven't tried that same route. But you can also see that most of the Michiganders just told her she was number one, and they were not going to follow her mandates with regards to those kind of restrictions.
But you know what? That's probably just what Michigan needed. We're a pretty industrious state. We're a pretty industrious state. There's a lot of people who are really willing to work, and you know, you move north, and they're more industrious than the south because of the heat, I guess. But this is what we needed, and I think it would have been a big mistake if Trump would have won because it gave people a false security. The more I think about it, it's really good that he didn't, you know, stole her in, however it happened. America needs to wake up, and they need to get their nose rubbed in the dirt, you know, and some of us catch on faster than the others, but we need our nose rubbed in the dirt because we have rejected God. So, as a nation.
Yes.
Yeah, I still believe God working behind the scenes, but I also believe exactly what you're saying is that people had it too good, you know, fat and lazy, and now they're starting to see the fact that the enemy is no longer hiding what their plans are. I mean, more than ever, we see that the terrors are bold and brazen, sticking their heads up, and they're proud of their anti-God attitudes and their anti-Christianity positions. So yeah, it's exciting times for sure.
My son-in-law went to China, set up a factory for this company he worked for because they got told by General Motors if they wanted to do business with them, they had to go to China and set up a factory. So he was there 2 years setting this thing up. They could not hire a Chinaman to run it because they cannot forward think. They can't order in advance. They can't do nothing of that. So China would collapse without the Western influence. They just don't have it. You know, they just do their job and that's it. And they don't think forward. But they got told by the corporate world. I seen an article the other day where the corporate world looks at the American people as their enemy. You stop and think of what's going on. If you start moving away from that corporate world, you start buying local, they're in deep doo-doo. Because, you know, these malls, I don't know how they afford to stay in them. The money they get out of them, and that's all collapsing. And, I won't go to a box store. I went and bought a light there because I couldn't get it nowhere else. I tried two other places and they didn't have it. But I did go to a box store and get it. But I don't want to go in there very much at all. And I won't unless I have to. So this is how we take it over.
That's right.
Go home, get your house in order.
Yes.
Get your garden growing and, you know, quit the, you know, and help your neighbor. You know, if you got six chicks, and I'll guarantee you, you can't eat all the eggs. You just can't eat them all. I mean, that's how productive we can be.
That's right.
You're exactly right, brother. Yeah.
Yep. Well, Paul, I got to tell you, we've got 11 chickens and just two children at home, and we buy eggs from the neighbors. And there's days we'll have 11 eggs. So I understand what you're saying, but we're helping the other neighbors out. And that's what you have to do. And if you look, you can find fresh eggs. Definitely within driving distance. You can find raw milk if that's what you want, or goat milk if you have a problem with cow's milk. You can find fresh, clean, raw goat milk, and it ain't that far away. You can find beef. You can support local. You know, like you said, Paul, you went to two other stores looking for it. How many people would do that today? Instead of just, I just go to the box store and get it. I don't have time for that other stuff. And that's that needs to change. You know, even Ace Hardware. Most places have an Ace Hardware. Ace Hardware has more made in the USA products than just about any other store that's out there. Now, it might be a dollar more, but you can look on it, and you'll see whether it's made in USA or not. And Ace Hardware is an excellent place that has quite a bit more than usually the box stores, whether it's Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart, whatever.
Yeah, that's one of the places here that won't let you in without a mask, though, so they can have it.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's either that or ordered online. It is. You know, one other thing that I saw.
One thing that we need to change our way of thinking about is with regards to juries. I mean, typically we've avoided them like the plagues. I always have. But, you know, the Constitution talks about a jury of our peers. And with these demonic forces of hell filing charges against people, basically for either being a Christian, white, straight, male, whatever it is, it's important, I think, that we change our way of thinking. And one of the encouraging stories that I read this week was the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals stunningly has affirmed a juror is allowed to seek spiritual counsel through prayer and get it while deliberating a criminal case. And they brought up a case that took place where one of the jurors had told the rest of the jurors that they were praying and seeking God's guidance with regards to a righteous verdict. And, of course, one of the jurors complained, and the judge, an antichrist, removed that juror, and they found that person guilty. And fortunately, they took up a lawsuit against it. And like I said, the 11th Circuit Court, that's a pretty big deal, overruled it and said that people of faith can seek God with regards to guidance in a trial if they're a juror. So, I mean, not like we're going to listen to them or follow their guidance anyways, but for them to publicly say that is significant. And I think it's critical in the times that we're living in right now that we change our way of thinking from trying to get out of jury trials to trying to be there as a jury of our peers. See, people don't understand, though, when you request a jury of your peers, that's like-minded is what peer is. And if we, as the ones who understand God's law, don't participate in this part of the demonic forces of hell trying to take out those that would dare stand against them, then I think it's a great disservice to those people.
Amen. And
which could be us, by the way.
My peers would be 12 white men, you know. There wouldn't be no women on that court either. So, I mean, we're still out of that's a bright spot in the thing, but we don't understand what our peers are, you know, and the women in authority and all this stuff. It's a mess because women are very emotional and very easily led. Not all of them. There's some really good ones, but a lot of them are easily led by emotion, and that's not how you handle a court of law.
That's right.
Exactly. And we've always avoided juries like the plague, at least I have, and I've changed my way of thinking basically just by reading through the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I mean, those are the things that we have a responsibility to, I think, too, while in Babylon. You know, just like Paul was saying, Pastor Peter says, you're not going to get your, you know, there's no way out of being under Babylon, at least right now, but...
That's right. You know,
it's an opportunity to make a huge
difference. Years ago, I got summoned for jury duty, and I was talking with Dad, and I'm like, what do I do to get out of it? And he's like, well, actually, he's like, you know, you should think about it. He's like, you know, we need people like us on juries. He's like, you know, he's like, I would go ahead and go for it and do whatever you can do to get on there. And they denied me the first time, but I had to go through, went in and went through the interview and stuff, and they, you know, they always have a lot more people that they sign up and summons for jury duty than they need for jurors. But the second time, about 2 years ago, I was summoned on jury duty, and I was actually able to go to a jury trial. And you know, and it was a good feeling. I think I did what you know did pray about it, and you know, did what I was supposed to do. And you know, that's, we need to have that attitude.
I used to always get out of it just by saying I'm a God-fearing Christian man. You know, they ask if you have any prejudices or anything like that, and I said, well, I'm a God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian man, and that would disqualify you almost every time.
Yeah, well, that explains, you
I've
know,
never been.
That explains a lot.
I've never put up for jury duty. They must, they profile me or something, because I've never even got a jury notice. So
they don't want your kind on there.
Yeah,
no, they profile.
I think it's
you.
When you register. I'm pretty sure it's when you register to vote. It puts you on that list, because I can remember.
You change your address. Anytime you change an address for a driver's license, anytime you change your address for registering to vote, that puts you in the top of the list. Anytime you change any kind of address change and stuff like that, that re-dumps you back into the system and kind of puts you at the top of the list. Why those people tend to get it more.
Jury duty has always interested me in the fact that the one thing that is interesting is, you know, we see the cases throughout the Bible where one man made a difference. God used one person to
Amen.
Change the course of events. And jury duty is one of those things. It doesn't really matter how many people are on there that are anti-Christ, you know, hellions. The fact is that one person can queer the whole verdict or you know, bring it about. And queer is not really the right way. They're looking at it from what they want. But as far as you can change the outcome of that trial, one person can. Because it's got to be a unanimous decision. And if you say, I'm going to vote my conscience in God's ways, you have just, you changed the course of events there, you know. So it is an opportunity to stand for a God, family, and country where it's huge. I mean, you can make a huge difference. So, and you can affect trial and case law down through time. You know, you never know on some of these cases. It may be some small little civil case, or it may be some huge criminal case, but it could turn into a really big deal, and they go on down the line. So it's an opportunity.
But, you know, you don't have to, this is like playing cards. You don't have to tell everybody what you know. You don't have to proclaim a Christian. You just do Christian principles. So, you know, you don't, sometimes we shoot ourselves in our foot with our big mouth. Just deal with principles. You don't need to tell everybody what you are, who you are. It'll, you can actually tell. You know, I went to a customer once years ago, and I just met him, and he gave me the biggest compliment I had ever had in my life. He says, well, I don't have Christian salesmen stop by here. I says, I never said one thing about that. He says, you don't have to. That's what he said. So people can tell. Just, you know, we all talk too much. The good book says, listen much and speak little, and we're going to, you know, convert people by
our... can't.
You know, that Bronson, I did that feed my sheep. You know, when you're having a conversation with a person about important things like God-fearing things, and when he changes the subject, it's time to shut his mouth because he just went into mental overload. But most people just keep right on talking and blow him out of the water. You got to meet them at where they're at, not where you're at, you know.
Yeah, if they can't tell that you're Christian, then you ain't doing enough. That's the bottom line. And you ain't living your life right.
Well, I guess it shows. I don't know. I guess it shows. They can tell.
Oh, yeah.
So.
We all fall short and stumble at times, but, you know, when the rubber meets the road, they're the one, they come to you to ask for prayer or to seek, you know, your thoughts on different things. I know that happens to me quite a bit.
It just takes one small act to destroy your whole credibility, too.
Yes. Well, you know, John, talking about being on a jury, we do have this little book. You know, the Bible talks about the mustard seed, I think it is, being the smallest of seeds. But when it grows, it becomes one of the largest of plants or trees. And that's almost how the Citizens Rule Book is. It is just a pocketbook. It'll fit in your shirt pocket. But it is...
Yeah, that's where I...
It is a
woke me up.
Powerful, powerful book. It is a handbook for jurors. It starts out, you know, that with the ancient principles, which are the Ten Commandments and the oracles of God. And so I would encourage you, you know, we'll send it to you for any donation. Citizens Rule Book. It is the smallest of books, but it is packed full. Quotes from presidents, from signers of the Declaration of Independence, of chief justices back from the 1700s. Anyway, it is, you know, here's one quote from Everett Hale. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I should do, and with the help of God, I will do. Whew! What? You know, how? I mean, that is just powerful and needed today. Here's another quote. The only power the judge has over the jury is their ignorance. That sounds like a quote from you, Paul.
Well, see, a judge is only supposed to be a referee, make sure things get carried out. That's what his job is. He does not give you law.
Right.
You know, these edicts that come out of these whatever court gesture, they don't make law. And that's what the church has lost. There's one lawgiver. You know, and, you know, I really think the Constitution was written so that we could have our different denominations get along decent. So, you know, it's not law. It's just and the founder said it will only work for a godly people. So people lean on that Constitution way too heavy because that's not the bottom line.
A fact.
Yes.
I answer to God, nobody else, you know. So, and when people get that in their mind, that's why that Hale could say something like that, because I am one, and I will do. So, I mean, that guy's getting right down to the heart of the matter.
That's right. That's right.
So, well, yeah, I'm going to stop out. I got something I got to do, so I'll see you later.
Thanks, Paul. God bless, brother. Have a great weekend. Well, Remnant, I do want to remind you. I do want to remind you, Remnant, we've got some more new books, Growing Good Food, and we're advertising them in the next Dragon Slayer newsletter. That's Volume 4. We'll start printing that on Tuesday this week is the plan. We have got it just about ready to go, and we'll get it started this week, hopefully get it in the mail by the end of the week, and then get you an email copy as well if you'd like. But look inside the covers. We've got a couple of new books on this regenerative agriculture, on growing good food. This little book is fantastic. It is just chocked full of, it's like a starter guide. It gives you the reason why, and then it lets you know how. And so I encourage you to take a look at those, and it is encouraging to see more and more people all across the country that are at least awakening to the need to have good food, the difference that it makes physically in your body, and it's a spiritual thing as well. It is, you know, Adam was told to tend the garden, and the more that we are able to do that, as a people, we have moved so far away from that. But the more that we are able to do that, to tend the garden, even if it's just a little 9x16 hoop house, or if it's just a couple of buckets on the steps, there is, you know, we see God. We see God in that growth, in that little seed that is just, you know, picture a sunflower seed that's just a little hard shell and seemingly nothing. And a little bit of water, and a little bit of soil, and a little bit of heat, and it grows and blossoms and blooms and it is all by God's design. It is. So, well, guys, we're about out of time. We thank everybody for joining us. We thank you, the Remnant, for tuning in. We thank you, the Remnant, for supporting us. And we invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at church. You can go online to scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream. We'll get things fired up, good Lord willing, at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 on the East Coast. And that'll be 7:30 for you guys on the West Coast. And join us. We'll have a scriptural insight, a little review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that truly is timeless. That it just reminds me of reading the scriptures that we read that certainly applied in the time they were written, but they apply even more now. And these timeless pulpit truths are the same way. They are needed today, and they apply today. Brother John, looking forward to your live message tomorrow. And we'll have give you the opportunity, Remnant, to partake of communion. And so we do. We invite you to join us. You can do that. If you'd like to join us in person, we do ask that you give us a call and let us know you're coming. Like I said, we've had a couple baptisms over the last few weeks. And had a person fly out from California, had another drive out from Minnesota. And if you want to do that, by all means, just let us know, and we'll work with you on that. Well, again, Remnant, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be